I want you to imagine your life like being on a long trip, on a road. Maybe it's a long road. I hope it's a long road. And you're churning along, you're on a journey. Imagine getting to the end of your life, the end of your journey, only to discover that you'd been on the wrong road the whole time. The problem is that when you get to the end of your journey, you can't take a U-turn. You can't go back. You know, it's kind of like one person said, life's not a dress rehearsal. What you have is what you have. You know, the end of your life is the end of your life. There's no alligator alley to cut across, no whatever that highway is. You can't, you know, you can't fix things at the end of your life. The end of your journey is the end of your journey. One road, one life, and you missed it. What we're going to talk about over these next several weeks is about getting on the right road, about figuring out the journey, figuring out the path that God has laid out for us to take, the journey, the road, the trip, the purpose, the reason. Why am I here? I want to be able to come to the end of my life and look back and know that I was in step with God's plan for my life. I want to be able to look back and see fruit that God has born through my life and see the difference in my children and the difference in my wife and the difference in my community, the difference in my friends. I want to know that God is honored and God is pleased one day at the end of my road when my time comes to a close. Not only do I want that for myself, but I want that for you. That's really what this is about. What on earth am I here for? We need to figure that out. Now, during this series, I'm going to ask you to make some changes. I'm going to challenge all of us to adjust to the clear teaching of God's Word, to go through this series to say, God, I want more than anything. I want to be in step with your plan for my life. I want to be fulfilling your purpose in the world. I want to be connected to what you're doing. And so some of the things I'm going to challenge us to do may be uncomfortable, or they may not be familiar, or they may be difficult, frankly. But I'm going to ask us to do it. I've always heard in my life, I don't know who I heard this from first, but if you always do what you've always done, you always get what you've always got. I'm going to challenge us to do something different, to try a different path, to get on a different road, to make sure that the journey we're taking is a journey that's going to honor the Lord. I want us to look at Psalm chapter 90. It's interesting that Psalm 90 was written by Moses. A lot of the Psalms are written by David or other writers. This particular one is written by Moses. Who better to look at a writing from him if we're thinking about taking a journey? Moses took a journey, a long journey. You know, the first 40 years he was in Egypt, and the next 40 years he's out in the wilderness. He's leading the children of Israel through the wilderness on a journey to the promised land. And many scholars think that Moses probably wrote this psalm in the latter parts of his life, the latter years of his life. While I don't have this first verse on the screen, if you just look at the first verse of 90, of Psalm 90, you kind of get this feel of Moses. He says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Now think about that. Moses, nomadic Moses. Moses who spent really most of his life wandering around as a nomad in the wilderness. And he says, God, you have been our dwelling place. That's really a great picture to me. That Moses found connection with God. Moses found community with God. He found purpose in God. God, you've been our dwelling place. Now, we're going to focus on verse 10 through 12. So if you'll skip down to that, beginning in verse 10. The scripture says, as for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow. For soon it is gone and we fly away. Who understands the power of your anger and your fury according to the fear that is due you? So teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Now again, you have to put your mind into the mind of Moses and realize that God was using Moses to pen these words. And Moses is talking about God's anger. He's talking about God's fury. What do you think he had on his mind? He just spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness because of God's punishment, because of God's judgment upon his people. He understood that God is a gracious God, God is a compassionate God, God is a loving God, He is a forgiving God, but He is also a wrathful God. He is a God who judges sin. He's a God who deals with all the stuff in our life. He's a God who says, you know what, you're on the wrong road, you need to change paths. He's a God who calls for adjustment in our life. So he understood that. But the verse that we're going to focus on really is verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. There's several things. We could call it a formula, though I hate using that word, but there's so many formulas in the scripture, but certainly these would be three elements, three pieces of the formula of living a purposeful life. The first thing is living out your purpose requires change. It does require change. If you notice in verse 12, that first word, so teach us to number our days, you'll see as I move through this message, we're just really staying on verse 12. But here's the problem. If I had just put verse 12 in your bulletin or on the screen, it starts with the word so. How can you study a passage of Scripture that starts with the word so without looking back to what the so is talking about, right? I mean, you can't just say so, teach us to number our days. Why did he say so? What is the word so there for? It's pointing you back to some previous things that God said in this passage of Scripture. He's talking about how brief our life is. That life really is like a vapor, as James said in another place. It's here for a moment and then it's gone. Now, this passage says you may, you know, may contain 70 years or 80 years. I just got a text this week that a young lady from my former church passed away this week. She's 23 years old. She died in her sleep. 23. So while some of us may get 70 or 80, she only got 23. Life is like a vapor. It's just short. It's here and then it's gone. So teach us to number our days. You see the connection. Understanding the brevity of life. Realizing that 80 years really isn't all that long. I know when I was in first grade, it felt like Christmas would never come. Now it seems like we have Christmas every other day. You know, I mean, it's just woo, 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 just flying by. I'm amazed. So, teach us to number our days. See, that word so means change. Because life is short, I got to adjust. Because I'm not going to live forever like this, in this stage, I need to adjust my life. Because God is an angry God, He does deal with sin. And because God is compassionate and gracious, as other passages tell us, I've got to adjust. I've got to change my life. I just can't keep living the way that I'm living. Change. Moses had to change. He had to turn aside. You remember in the early days, he's out in the wilderness. He's watching over his father-in-law's flocks, and he sees the bush that's burning on the side of the mountain. What if Moses had not turned aside to see the burning bush? He had to turn aside. He had to change. He had to adjust his agenda. David had to change. He had to go down to the valley to confront Goliath. Matthew had to leave the comfort of his profession in order to follow Jesus. Paul had to make a radical life change to become a Christian and to follow Jesus Christ, the very one whom he had been persecuting. One of my favorite books is John Ortberg's book, The Life You've Always Wanted. I love that book. In this book, he talks about this very thing. He says, everything turned on Moses' being willing to turn aside, to interrupt his daily routine, to pay attention to the presence of God. He didn't have to. He could have looked the other way, as many of us would. He would have just missed the Exodus, the people of Israel, his calling, the reason for his existence. He would have missed knowing God. It's really a powerful thought. I mean, imagine, you're Moses. Maybe you're running late, maybe dinner, you know, who knows what, and you're walking along, you pass Mount Horeb, you passed it a gazillion times in your life, and you see this little anomaly, this little bush that's burning up there, but it doesn't seem to be consumed. Maybe it's your eyes playing tricks on you. Maybe it's the setting sun. I don't know. Dinner's calling. My wife's going to be upset if I don't hurry up and get home. The kids, I got to play with the kids. I need to, you know, I got to help Jethro. I'm sure he needs me. But he stopped to go check out the burning bush. If that had not happened, he would have missed everything. Now, had that not happened, had he not turned aside, God would have raised up another Moses. But Moses had the wonderful privilege of being in on what God was doing because he stopped and he changed and he turned aside. What we're going to be doing over these next weeks is turning aside, agreeing to change. See, God's goal for us is to change us. The scripture points that out. Now, we don't like change, but the Christian life is really all about change. If you think about it, it's about transformation. It's about becoming more and more and more like Jesus Christ, because we have a problem in our life, and the problem is sin. And the Bible tells us that sin separates us from a God who does love us and a God who cares for us, a God who died for us and rose again from the dead so we could have life. He's a God who offers us hope and grace and mercy. But sin messes up God's plan. And so therefore, if we're just going to be a Christian, if we're going to come to Christ, it requires change. The Bible word is repent. It means turn around. It means U-turn. It means go in another direction. It means the path that you're on right now is the wrong path. It's a train wreck about to happen. You got to turn around. You got to get on another road, or you're going to end up at the wrong place. Life is about change. If you want to follow Jesus, you got to make a change. You got to quit following yourself. You got to quit being your own God and surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Once you become a Christian, the Bible tells us that God wants to change us to be more like his son. He wants our character to look like the character of Christ. He wants our attitude to be like the attitude of Christ. Think what God inspired Paul to write in Romans 8:29. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son. You ever thought about that? That God wants you to be like Jesus. If you want to know what God wants you to be like, just study the life of Christ. Look at how Jesus acted. Look at his temperament. Look how he dealt with people. Look how he did life. And frankly, becoming like Jesus requires making changes. Now, changes is not easy. Sometimes it's really, really hard. My friend, the Bible says this in Luke 14:33. This is kind of a tough verse. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. What? God wants us to give up everything? We have to give up everything that we have to be Christ's disciple? I think the story of the rich young ruler makes it a little clearer. In this story, Luke 18, the Bible says that a certain ruler came to Jesus. We know from other gospel accounts that he was wealthy and he was young. A certain ruler came and said, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. All these I have kept since I was a boy," he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he became very sad because he was a man of great wealth. Now, is Jesus saying that we have to sell if you want to be a Christian, you need to put your house on the market, you need to sell your car, you need to get rid of everything. Is that what Jesus is saying? Some have interpreted it to mean that, and they've gone into kind of a monastic kind of life. Is that really what Jesus is saying for all of us to do? No, think about the story in the context. This man said, "I want to follow you, Jesus. What do I need to do?" And Jesus says, "Well, keep the commandments." Now, let me ask you a question. Is that how you become a Christian? Do you obey all the Ten Commandments? No. What Jesus is doing in this passage, he's pointing out to this rich young ruler that he needs a Savior. You see, you can't become a Christian until you know you need a Savior. You can't give forgiveness for your sin until you realize that you were a sinner. And so what Jesus is doing in this rich young man's life is pointing out the fact that he needs a Savior. He says, "What do I need to do?" He says, "Well, here's all the commandments." And the guy says, "I keep all of them." Now, what's the first commandment? To have no other gods before me, right? That's the first commandment. And so Jesus is just going to deal with the first one. He's going to show this rich young man that this man has another God other than the true God. What is his God? Money. He says, "All right, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go sell everything and follow me." The rich young ruler said, "No, I'm going to hold on to my money and say no to God." You see what Jesus was doing? He's saying, "You have chosen to have another God other than me. If you want to follow me, you cannot have any other gods before me. I've got to be your God." Now, God may ask you to sell everything and give it away to the poor. He may. He may ask you to pack up everything and move to Zimbabwe. He might. He might send you who knows where around the world. We have to go before God and say, God, everything I am, all that I have is yours. If you want me to sell it, fine. If you want me to use it for your glory, great. Whatever you want, I am all yours. I totally belong to you. You see, what God is asking for, if we want to understand our purpose, He's asking for change. Are you willing to change? Are you willing to do whatever it is that God is asking you to do? So here's that first little application point. Be ready to change. If you want to find your life's purpose, be ready to change. Because, see, you can't stay where you are and go with God at the same time. You can't. So God is asking us to change. Here's the second thing we see from this passage in Psalms. Living out your purpose requires wisdom. Notice what God inspired Moses to say. So teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. You see, if we're going to understand why I'm here and what our purpose is and make sure that my life really counts, we need wisdom from God so that we can live life carefully and intentionally. Those are good words. Are we really living intentionally? Are we living on purpose? Are we living carefully? The Scripture tells us in many places to be careful. For one, Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. It says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Be careful then how you live, is what he's saying. Be wise. If you're going to live out your purpose, you need wisdom. You need to be careful so that you're living right. You need to know what right is. You need to know what the right path is. You don't want to come to the end of your life and go, man, I really blew it. I'm on the wrong road. We need wisdom. What is the opposite of careful? Careless. Careless. We could probably all, I bet every one of us in this room could stand up and give testimony to how we have lived carelessly in our lives at some point. Could you? I can write books on careless living, and I could be the subject. But so could you. I could write books on you, I bet. Careless living. We've all done it. We've all taken wrong paths. We've all messed up along the way, living carelessly. This passage here says, be very careful. Be very careful. Now, I want you to think for just a moment. Why are you here? Why did God make you? We need wisdom to figure that out. We need to tap into God and to hear His heart. See, we want to make the most of every opportunity. Every opportunity. We don't want to blow an opportunity. You're going to have some opportunities this week to grow, to be more like Jesus. Don't blow it. Don't waste that opportunity. You're going to have some opportunities this week to encounter God and learn more what He's like. Don't miss that. You're going to have an opportunity this week to make a difference in the life of somebody. It could be in your best friend. It could be in the kid that sits across the aisle from you at school. It could be in your husband, your wife, your child, your neighbor, someone in your small group. You're going to have a chance to change a life. Don't miss it. We need some wisdom. We need to tap into what God is doing. Now, if I would ask us to be honest, I wonder how many of us would say, I really want to know what God wants me to do. I really want to plug into His purpose for my life. I think we all would say that. The problem is we got to plug in. We got to tap in. See, there's so many distractions that mess us up along the way and trip us up and get our attention. And we think that this thing over here is so important when the truth is it means absolutely nothing. We probably would be amazed at how insignificant most things are that we spend our life doing. God's saying, I want you to live a life of purpose. I want you to tap in to eternal kinds of things. We need some wisdom for that. Be very careful. Now, I'm going to ask you to carefully consider God's truth over these next weeks as we consider living out God's purpose for our life. If you're reading What on Earth Am I Here For, you're going to see that Rick Warren, page after page after page, uses Scripture. Now, he uses different translations and different things, but it's Scripture all throughout the book. And I believe that as you read through that book that you'll have opportunity, just through the Word of God alone, you'll have opportunity for incredible life change as you allow the truth of God's Word to sink into your heart. So I'm gonna ask you to plug in, because here's the thing. We don't have the wisdom that we need to figure out how to live our life, how to make our life count. We need to tap into God's wisdom, and He's given it to us in His Word. So living out your purpose requires wisdom. So here's the takeaway. Be wise. Be wise. Don't blow this chance. Be wise. Tap into God's wisdom. Plug into God's plan. All right, here's the third thing we see from this passage. Living out your purpose requires diligence. That's why he says, so teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. You see this idea, God, we want to present to you. And it's not just like at the end of our days. We don't want to just like, you know, I'm 97 years old. I just had a heart attack on Mount Katahdin. I finally finished the Appalachian Trail. I'm leaning over my walker on the top of the mountain, and I have a heart attack. It's not at that moment that I present to God a heart of wisdom. See, it won't happen that way. Matter of fact, I won't have a heart of wisdom to present to God if I wait until then. This idea of presenting to God a heart of wisdom, just the concept, the idea, calls us to diligence. You cannot present to God a heart of wisdom if you do not put forth some diligence to seek the heart of God and the mind of God about how to live, about how to adjust our life. You see, here's what I know about Americans. We are lazy people. I got to tell you, I think this happened in the debates, or maybe it was an interview after the debates this past week. I can't remember. But Ben Carson was being interviewed, and they were talking about the whole illegal alien thing. I don't know if you heard that interview or not, but he's talking about the whole illegal alien thing. And he made the statement that we needed the Mexican or Hispanic workers to come in and work in the agriculture. They're talking about illegal Mexican immigrants to come in and work the agricultural fields. And he made the statement. He says, because Americans don't want to work there. I don't know if you caught that, but that bothers me a little bit. You know what it says? We are lazy people. We want somebody to do something for us, and we don't want to do anything for it. We don't want to have to work for it. Work for it? You got to be kidding me. I got to sweat a little bit? You mean I got to go to school for a while? You mean I got to make some sacrifices? You mean I got to put out something? We live in a culture that lives with not just one handout, but both. And God is saying, listen, you want life change? You want to understand my purpose for your life? You need to plug in. It's going to require some diligence. Matter of fact, it's going to require some hard work. Because the truth is, in this room, there's some stuff going on in our life that needs to dramatically change. And some of that change is not going to come easy. Some of it has come from patterns, lifelong patterns of stuff, of behavior that does not honor the Lord. And making those kind of changes is not easy. But God's going to ask us to change. It's going to take some work, some diligence, really. This whole series, I think that you'll see that all the way through. We want to be able to present to God a heart of wisdom. It means not just knowing the right thing, but doing the right thing. I want to tell you, I've been in church all my life. I tithed on the back of a pew, I'm sure. I could tell you stories about growing up in church. I started going to church 9 months before I was born. It's just been a part of my life, and I've loved it. I don't regret it at all. I know the Bible stories. I've got a doctorate. I know the scripture, most of it. I mean, I still struggle with some stuff, but you know what I mean? I'm really working on it. And here's the fact. If you've been in church much in your life, you know a lot about the scripture too. One of my favorite John Maxwell quotes is this: we are educated far above our level of obedience. I love that. See, we know what the Bible says. It's time for us to start doing it. It's time for us to start adjusting our lives to the truths that we already know. Here's the thing. We go before God and say, God, give me a new truth. Give me a new truth. And God's in heaven going, you hadn't done anything with the one you have yet. You know, let's start working with what you know. And then we'll go in new directions. Here's what I believe. Could we just all say, God, I'm willing to start with what I know. I'm willing to adjust my life to what I know to be right. And then I'm going to really be diligent. I'm going to pour my life into your word. I'm really going to focus on this. And I'm gonna make some tough choices and do the right thing. The scripture says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Be diligent. I'm going to ask you to rise above. I tell young people this all the time. You want to excel in life. You want to succeed. You want to get the promotions. You want to get the salary. You want to get the prestige and the honor. You want the position. You want the job. All you got to do is work hard, and you will soar. See, there's not much traffic on the second mile. You know, you're kind of there all by yourself. Just soar. Here's what I want to ask us to do. I'm going to ask us to soar. Would you be willing, over these next 8 weeks, to open up your heart and your mind to the truth of God? To put forth some effort to meet with God. To adjust your schedule so that you have room for God in your life. To take a few moments every day to read a chapter in a book and to spend a few moments reading the Bible and talking to God in prayer. Would you take a moment, or an hour, maybe two, I don't know how your small group will do it, but would you take some time to meet once a week with a group of people who are on the same journey that you're on? I'm telling you, it'll change your life. Had Moses not stopped, he would have missed God. Folks, I believe it's time for us to stop and fix our gaze on God Almighty and say, God, what do you want to do in my life? What changes do you want to make? I want to be connected to your purpose. I want to be plugged in to what you're doing in the world. For some of you, it means that you need to become a Christian. God is saying, you know what? You fix your gaze on me. I want you in my family. I died for you. I bled. I died for you so your sins could be forgiven. I want you to be a part of my family. And so it may be as you plug into what on earth am I here for, the very first thing you're going to connect to is the fact that God made you for a relationship with himself. And he's calling you to himself. And so maybe that's where you got to start. Maybe even today, why not say, God, I want to be a Christian. I turned from myself. I turned from all the mess that I've made and all the ambitions and goals, all this other stuff. I follow you. I surrender to you. Thank you for dying for me. I believe that you rose again from the dead. I give you my life. That's where it needs to start. So living out your purpose requires diligence. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do over these weeks. One, I'm going to ask you to attend these weekly services. Now, I realize, you may have to miss. I understand we have to miss every now and then. I had an elderly friend when I was a kid. He said, the only person who doesn't take a vacation is the devil, and look what it did to him, you know. So, I understand that, something might happen. You might have to work or whatever. I understand that. But I'm asking you, over these next 8 weeks, would you make a commitment to be here? To be present, to do the best you can. If you have to miss a week, how about this? If you miss a week, catch up on Wednesday when we post it online and listen to the message. Go to small group, stay plugged in. Here's the second thing I want to ask you to do. Go to small group. Sign up for a small group and go. Don't miss it. Be plugged in. Here's the third thing I want to ask you to do. I want to ask you to read a chapter a day beginning next Sunday. You might want to get your book and start early just in case you miss a day. I just got to tell you, I started this past week. I'm thinking, what if I missed a day? I better go ahead and start. I want your chapter a day. But here's the thing. I started reading. I wanted to keep reading because it's so powerful. I've read it now. This would be my third time. It's so powerful. I want to keep reading, but just read a chapter a day and let God use it in your life. Would you do that? That's the third thing. Read a chapter a day. Here's the fourth thing. I'm going to ask you to memorize a scripture verse. And you're going, what? That's for children. No, it's not. The Bible says that we are to hide God's word in our heart. God didn't put that in the primary section of the Word of God. He says this is for all people to memorize the scripture. Now, I'll tell you, when I was a kid, I could memorize scripture better. When I was a teenager, I used to memorize 15 verses a day. I was in a Bible memory program. 15 a week. 15 a day, good gracious. 15 a week. But now, I don't know if I can do 15 a week. But here's the scripture verse for this week. I put it on your notes, I think. Ephesians 5:15-16. Ephesians 5:15. Okay, that's two verses. I cheated. Ephesians 5:15-16. Let's read it together. Ready? Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Isn't that a great scripture to hide away in our hearts and our minds? I want to challenge you to do that. Will you do that? Would you let that be this week's verse? To memorize this particular passage of Scripture, Ephesians 5:15-16. So here's the takeaway. Living out your purpose requires diligence. You got to be intentional. Because here's what I know. life change doesn't happen by accident. We don't just bump into life Christ-likeness and go, oh, I'm more like Jesus today than I used to be. It's intentionality. It's diligence. Spending time in the Word of God. Spending time in prayer. Meeting with God day in and day out. Talking with our Christian friends about spiritual things. Going to small group. Pouring our life into ministry. Meeting with God in worship here week after week. Those kind of things begin to change us to where we're more and more like Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not a big formula guy because every time I put a formula together, you know, it either doesn't work or I'm missing a key ingredient. You know what I'm saying? But I think these three things that I mentioned this morning need to be high on our list of ingredients for a purpose-filled life. Change. Are you willing to change? That'd be a great place to start today to say, God, I'm willing to change. I'm willing to adjust my life. But it requires wisdom because you need to know what to change. Don't just change everything. You need to know what to change. What does God say in His Word? What adjustment is He asking you to make? You really need wisdom. And you know what the Scripture says? If any of you lack wisdom, ask God and He'll give it to you. You know what the Bible says? He'll give it to you liberally. He's not going to hold back. That's what James says in the first chapter. You need wisdom? Ask God for it. Why not? Let's spend this week calling out to God. Call unto me, and I'll show you great and mighty things that you don't know. That's what the prophet Jeremiah said. Call to me, God says, and I'll show you things you don't know. Could we spend this week crying out to God in prayer, praying for God to open up our hearts and open up our minds? God, what do you want to do during this series? I want to get on the right path. I want to end my life, end my journey on the right road. I want to look back and see your thumbprint all over my life. Could you pray those kinds of prayers? Pray for your small group. Pray for your family. Pray for your children, your spouse. Change, wisdom, and diligence. Are you willing to do it? You have what it takes? When I play football, my coach used to say, you got to give 110%, 110%. If you play football, it's probably in some coach's book, say this to your players, you know, 110%. I'm going to ask you, will you give 110% through this series? So when we come to the end, we don't just look back at it and go, well, that was nice. But we look back at it and say, God has changed my life. Can we look back at this as a church 8 weeks from now and say, God has changed our church? Now, there's some things on your notes, some little boxes to check. I want to ask you to go home. Here's your homework. Not only memorize that scripture, but go home and think through those boxes. Get alone with God. Would you make a commitment to do those things? Can we all stand together, please, and let's bow our heads and close our eyes. With our eyes closed, our heads bowed, I just want to say I'm so excited about what God's going to do. I believe God's going to really do something special in our hearts. And why not? Let's let it start right now. You know, God's not the one holding back. We are. So could we just say with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, God, I am willing to yield. I'm willing to give myself to you. I want to experience something fresh and new in my life. I want to connect to you, to what you're doing in the world. I want to know why I'm here. And I want to make sure that at the end of the day, I'm in step with your plan and what you're doing in the world. For those in this room who would honestly say, I'm not a Christian, would you cry out to God right now and say, God, I want to be a Christian. I give you my life. I'm sorry for my sin. Thank you for dying for me. And I believe with all my heart you rose again from the dead. I surrender to you. Lord God, thank you for this passage in your word reminding us to number our days. We need to be taught to number our days because we can't figure it out. So help us. Teach us. Over these next 8 weeks, teach us. So that we can make sure that one of these days we can present to you a heart of wisdom. I know there's some here who need to be saved. I pray today they call out to you. Many of us in this room are Christians, and maybe we've become quite bogged down in the tedium of life. I pray that today would be a time, a course correction, a U-turn, where we would just cry out to you and say, okay, God, I'm ready to take a different road. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.